Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Bob Surratt.
That old DJ is worth listening to.
Bob Surratt, start your day.
Well, thank you. The social media landscape is a lot different than it was back in 2011, but one thing has stayed constant, and that's the need to always be aware of what you post. And with us to talk more about that and why it's worthy of conversation now, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, the need to beware of what you post is always important, and that doesn't ever change, does it?
No. It really doesn't. I received this notification from the Washington Post, this column, and it's a piece in the parenting section, and it's called "The Right to Be Forgotten: Should Teen Social Media Posts Disappear as They Age?" And I was just reading it, and it really got me thinking, because I've written so many, you know, columns over the past 10 years, and I've talked often in these columns about how the things that young people post are always going to be out there. They're going to stay out there, and how when they eventually apply to colleges, people are going to search for them on social media. And this is far from me saying, you know, whether or not, you know, things like that should follow people. My opinions on that have definitely shifted over the years, but when it comes to how much thought we still need to put into it, because, you know, as you said, to kick off today's conversation, the social media landscape is a lot different now than it was back then.
How do you define different in this case?
Well, 10 years ago, you know, social media was written, let's say it was written with a permanent marker. You could try to delete, but once the ink was out of the pen, it was out. And now most young people in social media, they're growing up with those disappearing messages, you know, like Instagram stories and Snapchat. And, you know, the people who are posting, you know, they have very specific rules for how they operate. And like, they know exactly what posts should be a permanent part of their feed and which ones they want to disappear after 24 hours. So the permanent marker, it's still a thing. It's morphed more into like an erasable pen. And, you know, I'm showing my age here, but I remember the first year of going back to school shopping where erasable pens became a thing. And 10 years ago, you know, I never imagined that comparison would return, but it has. It's returned in the form of social media.
So the title of that piece, "Should Teens Social Media Posts Disappear as They Age?" Should they?
Well, yes, but with a very important caveat. Just because something can disappear doesn't mean that it will. And just because you think it should doesn't mean that that's enough. So what I'm saying is I don't recommend posting and trying the argument of, oh, I said that 10 years ago. Because while the notion of maturing and not being the same person is very valid, all makes perfect sense, it's just never that simple. I think there always has to be a balance of smart and savvy, where, you know, we live in a digital society, but in a digital society, always being aware that everything is recorded for prosperity.
Interesting mention in this piece. You mentioned about Europe and how it ties back to the headline. In Europe, children and parents sometimes have a right to be forgotten. What's that?
Well, in Europe, they can actually petition data companies to unlink people in search engines. So even from things that people have posted themselves about information that's no longer relevant to their reputation. So they can say something to the effect of, you know, I posted this a while ago, I'd like this to not follow me. And the author of this column sums it up better than I ever could when she wrote, "In Europe, people's social media posts are often considered data and easier to regulate. In America, they're considered speech, and free speech often outweighs the right to privacy." So while someday, you know, we could live in a country where children and parents have the same or similar options, you know, we don't know if that's going to happen. But it brings us back to the need of balance and being aware of what we're posting online, to always be aware of what we're posting online.
Yeah, I mentioned this a little while ago in that Washington Post story. 36% of college admissions counselors use social media profiles in decision making about applicants, and 58% reported that what they found had a negative impact. That's interesting, isn't it?
It's fascinating, and it's really, you know, I didn't know those stats, you know, we were talking about 10 years ago. I didn't know those stats 10 years ago, you know, but when I started my initial column saying, you know, you're really going to have to be careful because someday these things are going to come back and people are going to find these things. Who would have known that we'd be talking about, you know, 36% of college admissions counselors using them, but 58%, you know, actually having a negative impact? That's a huge, huge number.
Yeah. Lives forever out there. And we're talking to digital media strategist Scott Klandberg, getting our weekly debriefing here. So for parents, Scott, with kids on social media, what's your message?
The message is you need to have a very real conversation and let them know that, you know, what they post is what's posted. And something that you think is forgotten isn't officially forgotten. As I mentioned earlier, you know, young people on social media, they're very, very savvy. So they're already posting things that they know are going to disappear. Although my beliefs are what actually disappears, that's a topic for another conversation. But the right to cancel wouldn't change the fact that it's already been posted. It would just change the ability to go back and find it via a search engine. So the conversation about what we post is much larger than any one social media platform.
And clearly this is not a conversation for just kids, because anyone can benefit from thinking before they post.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. You know, like anything else, it takes a second to think before posting. Our brains can do a lot in a second. And this is the one thing I remember from every conversation about this over the years. Okay, people change and things change. And what we said before may not be what we mean now. But the bottom line is, in this whole chat, it's not about what we were thinking when we posted it. It's about what happens to that content after it's posted. And right now, staying with the example of a young person, you know, it's remarkably easy for someone deciding to admit someone to a college to search a person's name, see something they don't like, and pass on that person, even if that person is the absolute best choice for that college. So I say, because of that, it's important to always beware that whatever we say and do follows us. And right or wrong, something as seemingly insignificant as a tweet can have lasting consequences.
And do you think things will ever change, like a version of Europe's right to forget? Will that ever be adopted here?
You know, Bob, I don't know. I don't see it as that simple. I know there's a lot of talk out there now about changing internet rules. There's rules that haven't been changed in decades. But like anything else in our world, these things, you know, they don't happen overnight, and they're never what meets the eye. I'll tell you this, I'll be following those conversations about internet rules. So, you know, we'll answer that previous question together as we go.
A lot of folks wonder if you delete old posts or delete your account, does something still live on? Can they come back to haunt you?
Well, see, that's a really, really good question. Technically, according to the rules of everyday life, no. If you delete something, it's no longer there. You can no longer see it. But that's the key. Just because you can no longer see it doesn't mean it's out there. Now, I'm not saying that this happens to the average person, but there are people out there who take screenshots of social media posts before people delete them because they want to be able to come back and say, well, I know you deleted it, but I have it here in a screenshot. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, you know, to the average person every single day, but it shows you what can be done, and it shows you how people are thinking. So if you don't want it to be out there and you want to be 1,000,000% sure that it isn't out there, you just don't want to post it.
Facebook in the news today, they say they're allowing public figures with verified accounts to start live audio rooms and invite anyone else to speak. So they're getting into live audio and podcasts, aren't they?
They are, and you'll notice that they are one of many. Audio and podcasts, you know, they used to be a thing. Audio, obviously, you know, you're a lover of audio, and it's, you know, this wonderful thing, and now people are starting to really embrace it, like, oh, we have to do more with it. And Facebook was one of the first companies to say, when this whole thing happened last year, where people were really starting to get back to it, Facebook was one of the first companies to say, yeah, we're going to have a product. They didn't say what it was going to be, and now you're right, they're launching it in the form of, you know, for public figures, for certain groups. So you're going to start seeing little things top of your Facebook feed that ask if you want to listen to someone or something, and eventually we're all going to have the ability to talk on Facebook instead of typing comments.
Okay, is your genius bar open this morning?
It is only for you, Bob. It's closed for maintenance otherwise, but for you, we'll open it.
Lately, I noticed on my iPhone, I have a call, and if I put it on speaker, everything's fine. But if I'm just off speaker and listening, it's like the volume. I can't get the volume high enough. Does that mean my phone is conking out?
It probably doesn't mean your phone is conking out, and I'm assuming you've checked the volume controls and you've made sure that everything is turned up as high as it possibly could be.
Yep.
If you've done that, the only other thing that sometimes happens with iPhones, and I just know this from experience because it's happened to me, is that sometimes you end up with lint or something else that gets caught in the speaker grill, and sometimes that causes volume to be low, and you wouldn't notice something like that if you're wearing a headset. So it's just one of those things where just check the bottom where the actual charger of the phone is and just look at it and just make sure there's nothing that's visible in there that could actually cause that to happen. And if you see it continuing, yeah, it may be something you have to have Apple look at in terms of if there's something inside the grill, you wouldn't want to try to get that out, but that's the only other possibility I can think of off the top of my head.
Or I may have to have my hearing tested. And as far as my eyesight goes, sometimes my iPhone brightness goes to a very dim setting. And okay, is that something that automatically happens if your battery's low?
Well, there could be a lot of different reasons for that. It might not necessarily be that the battery's low. There's also a setting that's trying to optimize your battery life overall, not just for the day, but for the overall life of the battery. So sometimes if it's not you, if you're not doing a certain thing, it may lower the screen. At a certain time of day, it might lower the screen. There are actually settings in the settings part of the iPhone that you can go to that you can change anything like that. You can turn off, you know, but it's normally a main optimizing mode, and usually that's a good thing for the battery. So before you
How appropriate that Scott Kleinberg's
battery died.
Yeah, his phone is dropped out.